Coming up on KUCB News, over the weekend, the community joined Shayla Shishnikov as she blessed and launched her Ikyak, and thousands of fishermen could be eligible for a new program designed to help those hurt by the tariff on seafood. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Monday, September 14th, 2020. UNICE has seen 5 positive cases of the coronavirus among its employees and employee family members in the past 3 weeks. That's largely due to an influx of about 100 new processing workers at the company, brought to the island to fill a gap in the market, according to UNICE President and CEO Tom Enlow.
We started the bee season with no intention to bring additional processors up, but then we were contacted by a couple processors who were not going to be able to open up their cod platforms, and that would basically leave their respective fleets without a market to deliver. So we made the strategic decision to go ahead and bring an additional processing workforce for what's called the fall cod season.
Early on in the pandemic, Unalaska's onshore processing plants chose to keep seasonal employees on island between fishing seasons, one of many strategies the plants are employing to keep the virus out. Enlow says UNICE leadership knew there would be some risk involved in bringing new employees to the island to process cod. But he says that's why state and local health mandates are in place and community and workforce protection plans are being followed.
I think that every seafood processing company that operates in the Alaska coastal communities has experienced positive COVID cases. UNICE was, I think, one of the last companies standing. So we knew that certainly by bringing workers in, that there was going to be some level of risk involved. But we were very careful in our, screening process to make sure that, we could reduce and mitigate that risk to the extent we could.
All 5 individuals who tested positive for the virus, 4 of whom are part of the new group who came in for fall cod season, which started September 1st, were identified as part of the company's quarantine testing protocol, which requires a COVID-19 test at the beginning, middle, and end of the 14-day quarantine period. In compliance with the company's workforce protection plan, they were quarantined away from others and did not have contact with the outside world, according to Enlow. He says as long as the company continues to follow protocols to protect not only the community but their staff on campus, he's not overly concerned at this time about having a larger outbreak at the facility, which is Unalaska's largest seasonal employer.
The big concern lies more in what's going to happen come egg season when many, literally hundreds of new workers are going to be coming into the community.
Enlow says the company intends to encourage employees already in Unalaska to stay on island between seasons by providing food and housing and possibly a paid incentive. But for incoming A-season employees, he says the company plans to quarantine and test them in Seattle or Anchorage prior to traveling to Unalaska. Those who have quarantined and tested negative for COVID-19 will then fly to the island on a secured flight, and a final test will be done upon arrival. There are currently about 700 processing workers at UNICE's facility, plus support workers, many of whom are full-time residents of Unalaska, according to Enlow. He says the processing workforce will go up to about 1,000 come A season. Meanwhile, Alaska's tally of confirmed COVID-19 cases rose by 77 yesterday, bringing the statewide total to 7,270. That includes residents and non-residents who have tested positive for the virus. There have been 252 hospitalizations since the pandemic hit Alaska in March and 44 deaths. And as of Friday, 103 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in Unalaska. According to the city, only 2 of those are currently active. 2,061 people have been tested at Alulik Family and Health Services. On Saturday, the community of Unalaska joined Shayla Shishnikov as she blessed and launched her Ikyak, With the guidance of two Ikyak builders, Shishnikov constructed her first Aleutian Sea Kayak over the past couple of weeks. As KUCB's Maggie Nelson reports, it was a long-awaited and profoundly spiritual process for Shishnikov.
Do you want to put those things up again, or should I just grab it?
You can just grab it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm supervising. That is my job.
Mm-hmm. It is. Someone's got to do it.
Shayla Shishnikov is Camp Kungayu coordinator for the Kowalungan Tribe of Unalaska and has just built and launched her first Ikyak, an Unangak skin-on-frame sea kayak.
And so I am just really looking forward to getting this build in and to customizing this Ikyak to me and my body. We are a water people. The water is just everything to us. It brings us food and life, energy and transportation and happiness, really. So
Shishnikov crafted her Ikyak over a span of about 14 days with the guidance of instructor Mark Daniels, a professional Ikyak builder based out of California who has been crafting Aleutian sea kayaks for several decades, and help from Dustin Newman, Youth Services Coordinator with the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association. Here's Daniels describing the beginning phases of the build.
The whole process starts with going out to the beaches and combing the shores for the right shapes of driftwood, because a lot of the parts in an Ikyak are curved, but they have to be strong. So you select out, you take a pattern out with you, and you select out the pieces of driftwood that match and are the right type of wood and are in good shape.
From there, Daniel says, the process involves many long hours in the wood shop, then steaming and bending of the ribs as the Ikyak begins taking on a three-dimensional shape. The process wraps up with the launch and blessing of the Ikyak. When it is done at Camp Kungayu, the region's annual culture camp, which was canceled this year because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the Ikyak is constructed in about 5 days. But for Shishnikov's build, as part of Daniel's apprenticeship program, they chose to slow things down. Typically, Shishnikov would travel to California as well to learn and build with Daniels in his workshop, but she says she was unable to travel there in March, as she'd previously planned to do, due to the pandemic. Shishnikov and Daniels collaborated with APIA and the Kowalungan tribe to move forward with the build by bringing Daniels to Unalaska despite the cancellation of the culture camp. And while things are happening on a different timeline and location, Shishnikov says she's excited to have the opportunity to build her own Ikyak in her home community.
And I think that initial launch out to sea really sets you up for, you know, the rest of the course of your Ikyak. So to be able to do that here in our Unangak waters and on our lands, I think is pretty significant.
For Shishnikov, the build is not simply a physical process, but also an emotional, cultural, and spiritual one. And for Dustin Newman, who has done a few Ikyak and other types of builds and joined Daniels to help guide Shishnikov, the construction is also about fostering mental well-being through cultural practices.
We have a value called Kayuktuchin, which is be strong. I tie that into that same ideology of you have to be strong mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually to get through tough times. And having your cultural awareness, having those values instilled in you, really helps get through tough times.
It's a process of passion for Newman and Shishnikov, and also for Daniels, who has been building Ikyak and other Aleutian sea kayaks since the 1980s. When he describes the process and the structure, his enthusiasm is immediately apparent through his attention to detail and the audible excitement that carries through his voice.
The cleft, the two-part bow, and the truncated stern, the exact number of ribs, the exact dimensions of it, it's perfect. It fits the human body and makes a human being into a marine mammal.
He says he became obsessed with the Aleutian kayaks when he saw them in various museums. He started reverse engineering them and eventually was invited up to St. Paul in the Pribilof Islands to teach and build. Daniel says he feels privileged to help mend the gap of cultural knowledge that was created when the Unangak people were removed from their homes, many never to return.
And I feel like it feels really meaningful to be picking that stuff up and sort of mending that wheel and getting it back to where it's spinning again.
For the blessing of her ikyak, Shishnikov says she is following Newman's lead. Like Daniels, Newman also approaches the build as a process that unites past and present.
Like mine personally, I'll embellish with our ivory carvings and circle dot motifs. The circle dot motifs are, those traditionally are what allow our ancestors to be with us. It invites them to be on the waters and dancing with us and everything. Today,
of course. At the launch of her vessel on Saturday night, Shishnikov included an ivory carving of a sea otter nestled into the inside of the ikyak. And attached to the outside, near the head of the vessel, a humpback whale, Alamach in Unangom Tenu, a symbol that is particularly special to Shishnikov and is also her Unangach name. Reporting in Unalaska, I'm Maggie Nelson.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture says it's setting aside more than $500 million for fishermen hurt by tariffs associated with the U.S.-China trade war. As Eric Stone reports from Alaska's Energy Desk, some Alaskans are applauding the move, but others worry the program leaves some out.
Jeremy Layton is a dive fisherman based in Ketchikan. That means that as often as he can, he spends his days on the cold, murky seafloor looking for sea cucumbers and geoduck clams. He was among the first Alaskans to see the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. Most of Alaska's geoduck clam harvest is sold to consumers in China. And when China locked down as the coronavirus spread, demand for the husky bivalves collapsed and managers closed the market. Layton and other fishermen were already facing a tough market. They were already looking at a 25% tariff on seafood exported to China.
Well, so the last year, our prices dropped since the trade war started. Well, I guess it would be a trade war, but the tariffs were put on.
But it's not just geoduck fishermen. Francis Leach heads up United Fishermen of Alaska, a fishing industry group.
China seems to be one of the biggest markets for a lot of our seafood products in Alaska, and not just buying them for consumption, but also processing. We send a lot of seafood over to China to be processed.
Now, Layton and thousands of other U.S. fishermen could be eligible for a new program designed to help fishermen hurt by the tariff on seafood. It's an Agriculture Department initiative called the Seafood Trade Relief Program. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan says it's a new twist on an old trade war strategy.
There has been longstanding U.S. Department of Agriculture programs that provide relief to farmers when their products exported are hit with retaliatory tariffs. And what I've been arguing to the president and his entire team is that if the farmers get that kind of relief, then our fishermen should get that kind of relief as well.
Sullivan calls the program historic. He says it's the first time the USDA has set aside money for fishermen in response to retaliatory tariffs, though other federal agencies and programs often provide assistance to Alaska fishermen. A wide variety of fishermen are eligible. The USDA says it'll provide cash transfers based on licensed fishermen's total 2019 landings, 16 cents a pound for salmon, 4 cents a pound for herring, and a whopping 76 cents a pound for geoduck clams.
16 of the 19 species included in the program are harvested in Alaska,
including 4 kinds of crab, pollock, sablefish, and more. So $500 million for fishermen. Great news, right?
Right now, we probably have, I would say, more questions than we have answers at this point in time.
That's Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fisheries Association co-executive director Phil Doherty. He says he's concerned that one key species often exported to China was left off the list, sea cucumbers. Leach, the UFA director, says that's because the fishery didn't see a big enough loss due to the tariffs based on USDA's calculations. She says halibut didn't meet the threshold either.
And the reason for that is because halibut is a domestic market. We don't market that as much internationally. So halibut was not impacted as much by the trade war.
But she encourages anyone who might be eligible to apply.
The fish haven't been coming back. A lot of species are not doing so well. So commercial fishermen have really seen a downturn in a lot of areas. And so you know, my advice to commercial fishermen is, you know, get, if there's this opportunity to get some funding to go on and apply for it.
Leighton, the geoduck and sea cucumber diver, says he's not sure whether he will. He says he's not had much luck with federal pandemic aid programs yet.
It's difficult for us to actually get them. I've applied for three of them, and I've gotten $1,000.
He says it's hard to keep track of all the paperwork, receipts, bills, and such. He says he'll take a look at the requirements and decide whether to apply. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Eric Stone in Ketchikan.
The application for the Seafood Trade Relief Program goes live today and is open through December 14th. You can find that at farmers.gov/seafood. And stay tuned for our weekly check-in with USAFE, or Un-Alaskans Against Sexual Assault and Family Violence, the local nonprofit organization which provides services to people who have been impacted by domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, and other crimes, is hosting a weekly check-in program covering topics from protective orders to interpersonal safety. The program airs on Mondays right after the weather and NPR News. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.